Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Many of us cannot get through the day, and by many of us I mean me, without some hit of sugar, whether that's reaching for the biscuits as an afternoon pick-me-up in the office, or some chocolate in front of the television in the evening, or a jar of jellies during a chat show on a Friday night. We are eating apparently far too much sugar, and we're joined this morning by Elsa Jones, a nutritionist who says that we can all kick our sugar habit for good if you want to. Is it that bad, Elsa? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Like you're making sugar sound like a heroin problem. It's only a few jellies or a biscuit here and there.
Well, maybe for you, but I think sugar is actually a huge problem. I mean, as you know, we are in the midst of an obesity crisis, mm-hmm. And our sugar intake is a huge factor in that. Only one factor, but one big significant factor.
Where is in a given day, where is all the sugar coming from people who think they're not eating sugar, but they are?
It's a good question, because it's estimated that we consume about 20 teaspoons of sugar per day, that the average person consumes about 20 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Where's it coming from?
A lot of it is coming from everyday foods, sort of seemingly healthy foods that we just don't realise have had sugar added to them. So, you know, for example, breakfast cereals.
Weetabix. Is there sugar in Weetabix?
Actually, Weetabix is quite low. But a lot of the cereals do contain added sugar, kind of fruity yogurts, fruit, tomato soups. There are lots of sugars added by manufacturers in foods. And then, of course, there's all the little sort of daily treats that we're all awarding ourselves. So, you know, for example, in my parents' generation, they wouldn't have had a sweet treat every day, whereas nowadays, most people, a sweet treat is they're having one in the afternoon.
Is this human adults giving themselves sweet treats like you might give a dog a biscuit?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Ryan.
They're saying that. They're saying this is my moment in the day that I'm allowed to have a bar of chocolate.
Oh, absolutely. See, I deal with people for weight loss quite a lot.
Yeah.
I have a lot of weight loss clients, and they would cite sugar cravings as their biggest obstacle to losing weight.
Like an addiction.
Yeah, so a lot of people would just say, listen, I can't get through the day without something sweet. Actually, I have a little quiz at some point I'd like to do on you, and it'll help you and maybe some listeners out there to figure out if their sugar cravings are out of control.
So I was blessed with a metabolism
that allows
me to just eat whatever the hell I want, really.
See, yeah, you're not a good example,
actually. I'm a terrible example.
Because you are one of those annoying creatures who can eat what they like and basically have no repercussions.
But you're equally one of the annoying creatures who goes around scaremongering about food that we didn't really bother worrying about before, and now you're just one of those people who's part of this new industry of telling us all to eat lentils and whatever other awful foods that we survived perfectly well without for years.
But you see, are we surviving perfectly well, Ryan? Because we are in the midst of an obesity crisis.
Well, you're not suffering from it. No one out here is suffering from it. There's five. Look, if you did a straw poll, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in this area. One has just come in. Not one obese person between us.
So or obese. Yeah, true.
So what are the, like, is it really a crisis?
Is it a crisis? 100%. 100%.
And where is it coming from? Is it?
Like, I think, what is the statistics now? 20-25% of kids are either overweight or obese. And kids now, it was only in the newspaper yesterday, 15-year-olds are presenting now with pre-diabetes and high cholesterol, high blood pressure. But it needs to be dealt with.
There's a brilliant ad on TV that comes to mind as you're talking about, you know, the family sitting down and the kids are grand, and then they fast forward a year or two and the kids are getting heavier. Have you seen that ad? And it's an odd ad, actually, because they also have to invite actors in to say, look, you're large, so you're going to be the kid. But I suppose they're showing the passive nature of dining. Without realising that you're probably either eating too much or eating too much junk.
I actually think it's a really good campaign. I think I know the one you're talking. It's isn't it the Food Safety Authority one?
Probably is.
It's actually a brilliant campaign. It shows how kind of making small changes can make a big difference. Like, you know, for example, only having water at mealtimes instead of, you know, soft drinks or cordials or juices or that kind of
thing. Poor kids. What about a glass of my body? Is that it? Not... That's a lot of water, isn't it? With a bit of juice.
Better than a soft drink.
Okay. Yeah,
better than a soft drink.
Yeah, the soft drinks are now considered to be bad news, aren't they, for kids?
They are, yeah. Well, I mean, that's because they are. You know, the average can of a soft drink contains about 9 teaspoons of sugar, and it's liquid sugar, so it's concentrated forms of sugar. Our bodies just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it has a massive effect on our weight and our health, and that's why, I suppose, the likes of sugar controversial sugar taxes on the likes of soft drinks are coming down the tracks, which I personally would support.
You'd be into. Mm. Can I ask you about there's the protein shake phenomenon? Because there's a whole generation coming up the line now who are probably 28 or no, maybe 25 and younger, who are all buffed. Mm. It's really weird.
Yeah.
When you see them, you see them coming up to say hello, whatever.
Yeah.
And their arms are hanging dangling by the sides because they're so broad.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's a phenomenon, isn't it?
Oh, it's a huge thing.
It's the gym.
Thing.
The gym.
It's a huge thing. Particularly, yeah, you're dead right. It's among men. I find young guys in particular, guys, as you said, kind of in, you know, late teens, early 20s, they're looking for quick ways to kind of bulk up fast, you know, so that they're looking nice and meaty and chiselled when they're out on a Saturday night in their tight t-shirt.
Yes.
And yeah, a lot of people are turning to protein shakes to bulk up.
So these are these come in like mini vats. You see them in there.
I know, they're huge.
There's a shop near where I live and it's just relatively new, and the window ceiling to floor, I think you have to press a bell. You see the guys going in with their with their weird kind of monkey torsos heading in to get their things, and they come out with what look like little kegs of powder.
Of protein powder,
What is it? I mean, really, is that working? Does that mean you have to drink pints of this muck?
Essentially, what most protein shakes contain is highly processed, isolated forms of protein that you wouldn't find naturally in nature, i.e. in naturally protein-rich foods. So it's kind of, you know, isolated processed forms of protein. A lot of them have, you know, added preservatives, synthetic vitamins and minerals added to them. Whereas, for example, if you were to eat natural food protein, so for example, you know, chicken, eggs, nuts, seeds, not only do you contain natural sources of protein, but also what you have is certain nutrients, vitamins and minerals that work synergistically together.
Right.
So essentially the vitamins and minerals naturally contained in the food help your body to digest and utilize that protein efficiently. So in my opinion, and there are always going to be varying opinions on this, I think a lot of us are over-consuming protein and particularly through protein shakes. And you know, maybe with the exception of bodybuilders, most of us just don't need them.
So they're a con?
You see, it's not a black and white issue. It's kind of a little bit grey. You know, yes, it is a very convenient way to kind of replenish and repair your muscles after intensive training.
Yeah, but
particularly
you need to be
weight
doing the training to get there.
I wouldn't just be taking them just to kind of stave off sugar cravings or anything.
But they sound like almost for maybe there's a bunch of lads taking it, that it's a bit of a placebo. You feel like you're doing something about it, but ultimately it's just you're just drinking this awful stuff.
Like, in my opinion, if you're getting a good, you know, quality protein in every meal and you're getting a nice combination of animal protein and plant protein, most people don't need to be taking synthetic forms of protein through protein shakes.
Now, let's talk about the women. Most of the women I work with, particularly on television, have a year's supply of rice cakes under their desk.
Right.
Why?
I don't know, actually.
They're mad for rice cakes. What is it? That's a new one on me in the last 2 or 3 years. They're all, and that's considered to be, I think, a treat for them. God help them.
Oh, I now know what you're saying. They're having the chocolate-covered, yogurt-covered rice cakes.
Some of them are. Some of them aren't. You know, but the rice cakes are very prevalent in the workplace.
Well, rice cakes are the great alternative to bread. You know, I suppose most of us are trying to kind of cut out on bread. They're a good alternative to bread. I suppose it depends what's on your rice cake. You know, if they're covered in sort of chocolate, you know, probably better than your average biscuit. But, you know, I think probably happily fooling yourself that you're doing something really good for yourself. Well,
okay. And they're fans of kind of those salad lunches, but I always think that you couldn't possibly be satisfied with a salad lunch. Like, you couldn't. You couldn't.
It's such an Irish thing, though, isn't it? We just sort of, we just feel that we need to have the Sambo, you know, in order to
be
full.
I'm very old-fashioned that way.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at them and I feel pained for them as they dip into another plastic bowl of leaves.
Do you know what, though? If you don't have bread at lunchtime, you know what you won't get? You won't get that dreaded afternoon slump. In the afternoon, do you get that?
Exactly. Well, it's on occasion, but I tend to try and keep it. But so croutons doesn't mean it's a bread. It doesn't constitute a bread intake, do they? I mean,
croutons.
Yeah. Not really.
Depends how many you're eating of them. You know, it depends.
Say four or five.
But actually, yeah, cutting out bread at lunchtime does help sort of stave off that kind of 3 o'clock slump that a lot of people complain of.
Yeah, a lot of people get the slump, and you can see that happening of a typical afternoon. But I think that the slump often happens anyway. Now, do you want to do the sugar quiz on me?
I'd love to do the sugar quiz. Okay, so this is basically for you and I suppose listeners as well.
Let's all play it together, everyone.
This is how you can figure out if your sugar cravings are out of control. So, you know, listen, it's normal to crave something sweet now and again. That's not a problem. Okay. But if every single day you can't get through the day without a little sugar hit.
We all need a little sugar in our lives, Elsa.
You know, for a lot of people, it does affect their weight and it does affect their energy, mood and all those kinds of things.
All right, fair enough.
So, answer yes, no to the following statements, Ryan. Is a sweet treat part of your everyday routine?
Yes.
Right.
Are you going to take the pen out now?
I've got my pen out.
Okay, get the clipboard out.
Do you think about or crave sweet foods on a daily basis?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you need caffeine or something sweet to get you going in the morning?
Yes.
Do you often crave refined carbohydrates? So the likes of white bread, you know, white pasta, scones, cereals, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Do you experience energy slumps throughout the day? So, for example, that kind of afternoon slump.
I'm going to say no because I don't really.
Mm-hmm,
I maybe I kind of save it. I keep going and then I psychologically keep going to knowing that I'll get home eventually and then I can just watch Brian Dobson on the couch and be kind of collapsed.
Okay, so
I keep going.
You power through.
I power through. I like the way you said that.
Good.
I feel better about myself then.
Do you feel sleepy after meals?
After meals, no.
Do you struggle? Okay, this is a funny one. Ryan, do you struggle to maintain a healthy weight?
No, I don't.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes.
Do you need to end a meal with something sweet?
Yes, most certainly. I'd rather a good dessert than a rubbish starter.
Really?
Yeah, I don't go for starters.
Oh, you really have a sweet tooth?
I cut
then
to the chase. Give me the main meal. I don't want to just. I'm starving going to the meal.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't want to waste time with this stupid little starter and that which will actually wreck my hunger buzz. So I go straight for the main course.
Yeah.
And then I can, and knowing that my appetite is dealt with, I'm sated, I'll say, now what's for dessert? And I go, yum. And if it's like eaten mess or something with fruit or meringue or cream or a banoffee, slice of banoffee or apple pie and cream or anything. Custard and sponge. Sorry, I've lost myself there. Go back to the quiz.
Back to the quiz. God, he really,
I really was gone,
really went
I?
Into La La Land there. His eyes, pupils were dilating.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you have a hard time stopping at a small serving of sweet food? So, for example, if I opened a packet of Bickies now,
yes,
would you struggle to, for example, to just eat two Bickies? Or would you really want to eat more?
I would want to eat more. No, I'd want to eat more.
And would you eat more?
Yes, I would. I'd eat, if it was a packet of Kimberly Mikado and coconut creams, I would eat probably about six of them.
Okay.
Maybe, about six.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Two more questions. Have you ever tried to give up sugar but couldn't stay off it?
Give up a?
Have you ever tried to give up sugar or cut down on sugar?
God, no.
Why would you do that?
Why would I be wasting my time? That's too short.
Okay. And do you often turn, this shows whether you have sort of emotional eating tendencies. So, do you often turn to sweet foods if you're feeling down, tired or stressed?
No, it's utterly palate related. It's not emotional.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I am. I'm not. I'm absolutely sure.
I think a lot of the time that women are very in touch with the connection between their mood and their eating behaviour.
No, it's hunger. It's hunger and a sweet tooth. It's not an emotional connection. No, that's gobbledygook now.
So, okay. So if you were having a bad day and you were feeling kind of tired and browned off, you wouldn't be more tempted to reach for a sweet treat?
Not really. No, I know that this would make a happier story if I did, but I don't.
You don't.
I really don't.
Okay. Let me
I've got to be honest with you.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah. I would say you are kind of moderately addicted to sugar, Ryan.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably fair.
You know, I think there's definitely room for improvement there.
Ack.
And I do think you'd benefit from reducing
your
sugar intake.
Like if you're to buy one, like a Freaky Foot or, you know, Wibbly Wobbly Wonder or something.
Or like a nice pop.
Yeah, like old school.
And to be honest with you, I would be more into having an ice cream if I was like on holidays in Italy having like a really nice kind of proper gelato ice cream as a treat. Yeah, I wouldn't be into like, you know, Tangled Twisters or anything like that, no.
It's very boring, isn't it?
No. Well, I like sort of nice, genuine.
Would you eat a crunchy ice cream or a Maltesers one or a...
No.
or a Magnum.
No, maybe when I was 10, but no, not anymore.
See, I've got 10-year-old sensibilities when it comes
I
to
I lost a few teeth with Wham bars back in my day, but not anymore.
Wham bars were a crime against
humanity.
Yeah,
I did lose a tooth with a Wham bar,
The full tooth or the filling?
Full tooth.
God, that was pretty. That was tough. The pink one.
It's been replaced.
You can hold your arm out, and the wham bar still stays in your mouth. Remember that thing? Okay. So what's your favorite dessert then?
Ooh, I love a couple of squares of really good quality dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate, to be honest with you. Like green and black sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I like dark chocolate because kind of one or two squares is enough, as opposed to like milk chocolate, you kind of just want to keep on going. Yeah. With dark chocolate, it's so kind of intense.
Yeah.
And it lingers for a while. So, you know, one or two squares is enough.
Yeah. Your pupils are dilating.
Oh, at the mention of the dark chocolate.
Are those sweetener products a healthy replacement for sugar? Question.
I am not a fan of artificial sweeteners at all.
Why?
Again, and this is a controversial one, they are linked with a host of negative health effects. Oh. Now, like you know yourself, for one study that proves that they, you know, cause negative health effects, there'll be another study to disprove them. But I would say, in terms of anecdotal evidence, what I would see dealing with people, when people cut out artificial sweeteners, they tend to notice an improvement in their energy, skin, less headaches, better digestion. Right, okay. So I can only tell you what I'm seeing with clients.
When you say artificial sweeteners, are they the little things you put in your coffee? Is that what they're talking about?
Yeah, the aspartame and the saccharin. Yeah. Now, of course, then there are a lot of natural sweeteners, which are kind of a big craze right now, but...
You think that's all a bit snake oily as well?
Kind of what's in one month tends to go out the next month.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Listening with relish, I've been telling people for years about sugar. At last, I'm not a mad woman, just a children's dentist. Mm. I love your description of the buffed up 20-somethings. I call them the blueberry generation, the grown-up Amazons who have been given the five a day by careful parents in the years where fruit is blueberry and papaya instead of the old apples. And artinges like we had in the 70s. I have to admit, I am totally addicted to sugar. It's a daily struggle.
Mm.
There you go.
Well, it's that's what struggle. I was saying to you, and this is the honest truth. About 2/3 of my weight loss clients say that their sugar cravings stop them from reaching their goal weight. It's just they feel powerless against sweet foods.
Like proper. As you can see, my pink lady apple here and my five bananas.
Very
here.
Impressed, Ryan.
My bottle of water here.
Getting your five a day.
Yeah, which I do. I eat, that's what I'd be grazing on as the show goes on. But then you hear people saying, there's sugar in that. In fruit?
I think there's a lot of scaremongering at the moment going on with sugar and fruit. Yes, fruit does contain natural sugars. But it also contains loads of vitamins, minerals, fibre. So it's important that we do eat fruit as part of our five a day. Yeah. It's just that we have to recognise that we can't kind of gorge on it. So, for example, just because grapes are good for you doesn't mean you should eat the whole punnet.
Yeah, okay. Black or green grapes?
Either.
What's your preferred?
Both have their health benefits.
Could you tell the difference between one or the other if you did a blind test?
I think I could.
Could you? Between a black and a red?
I think I could. I've never tried it.
A red and a green.
Actually, very cute. My 1-year-old this morning was eating blueberries, and he kept saying, "More grapes, more grapes."
More grapes. See, blueberries. That's what the dentist was saying. Everyone's all about the blueberries.
Yeah, I know.
Where else have we got? Okay, because when I was growing up, there was no such thing as gluten free. Mm. And organic was probably just a twinkle in some farmer's eye.
It's a bit of a fad, isn't it?
What's all that?
It's just that people have got it into their heads that eating gluten-free foods is somehow better for them. And not necessarily. Of course, if you're celiac, you need to eat gluten-free
foods.
That's
medical. Otherwise...
But you don't need to be eating gluten-free foods unless you are celiac or very sensitive to wheat. Because again, once they take something out of a food, i.e. gluten, they have to add something back in to make it taste good and palatable. So a lot of the time then they add in back more preservatives and fillers into the gluten-free products.
Yeah.
So I think steer clear from them unless you have to.
Oh, good. Well, that's sensible advice. Because somebody was asking about gluten-free food and breads and so on. Can you ask your guest about the sweetener Stevia?
Mm.
Which is, we talked about that with the Coke Life. This is the Coca-Cola thing with the green Coke. Have you seen that? It's a green can of Coke. Mm-hmm. They're saying it's okay to have this one. Any thoughts on that sweetener?
You see, I suppose food manufacturers are realising that we've all become much more aware of our sugar intake, and we've all become much more aware. I mean, the World Health Organization has come out and told us that we need to at least half our sugar intake. So we need to basically get down to about 6 teaspoons a day. And as I said, most of us are consuming about 20 teaspoons a day. So how do we do that? What are our big sources of sugar? We know that soft drinks are a massive source of sugar. So the food, the drinks manufacturers are kind of scrambling now to find alternatives to keep us drinking soft drinks by using natural sugars. Is it... you see, I think if you keep on drinking diet versions of soft drinks, you'll always remain hooked. I just think you're better off weaning yourself off them altogether. Stevia is, as artificial as sweeteners go, is relatively natural. Possibly is a reasonably good option. But you know yourself, right now it's the hottest thing. But it wouldn't surprise me if in a year's time we're all being scaremongered off stevia.
So don't be... Okay.
If in doubt, leave it out. It's
if
my
in doubt,
motto.
Leave it out. Okay. And now we're doing a comfort food competition today. So you're allowed not be Elsa Jones nutritionist. You can be Elsa Jones hungover or whatever it is you need. So what's your go-to food just to say, I have to help with all that. I just want that. What is it? Come on.
Oh, a kind of comfort food.
Yeah, like sweet and sour chicken balls and fried rice. Like classic with
this
cheese.
This is really hard.
Cheese, please. Or a chicken slider meal. In Eddie Rockets, or you know, come on, you have some grease. I bet you're not.
I love cheese. I love cheese. Okay. Big one. I love cheese and I love red wine.
Okay, so that's what you would do for your comfort. You'd just get locked and eat loads of cheese.
Yeah.
Elsa Jones, it's been lovely to have you in the studio this morning. Your book is called Goodbye Sugar, Hello Weight Loss, Great Skin, More Energy and Improved Mood. It's
yes.
By Elsa Jones. It's published by Gill and Macmillan. You can't miss it because there you are on the cover of it.
There I am on the cover, yeah. All about how to break a physical and an emotional addiction to sugar.
Yeah, it's good. It's accessible and there's pictures for people who can't read. So that's nice. Goodbye Sugar. Thank you very much indeed. Goodbye Elsa Jones.
Thank you.